Now, when the Minister of Finance stands on the floor of Parliament, ma'am, you would know this, or you should know this, and make any pronouncement, because the Minister of Finance on the floor of Parliament is the most powerful individual on, in Parliament, the only person who can speak things into law under the Provisional Collection of Taxes Act.
Right? Yes.
Good. So when the Minister of Finance made the mini-budget and made the decree that on the 1st of July, right, that NSRL will be abolished, it came back on the Tuesday following and repealed it on the floor of Parliament, ma'am, it was automatically law. So the problem that we are having with the NSRL, the first working day of July, that people were confronted with the challenges of being asked to pay the NSRL after it was repealed, was simply because that the IT platform for the customs and excise is now in the hands of the Barbados Revenue Authority. That is where the challenge lay. And the Minister of Finance, when she made the pronouncement, ma'am, the Barbados Revenue Authority had some shy of 3 weeks to put the mechanisms in place and give the platform a fair run to meet the 1st of July. That somebody should be held accountable for this foolishness that took place yesterday in the Bridgestone Port as it relates to the paying of taxes for the collection of revenue. Ma'am, let me say this to you. That if, and I would speak directly to the Minister of Finance and the Prime Minister the next time, but I get her ears to please carry back the IT platform back to Customs and Excise, because anytime that there are going to be adjustments made in the revenue collection that involves the Customs and Excise, you will have these challenges when you have controlling the IT platform, and then the paying and the collection of the revenue is collected at another location. Man, it just does not make any sense.
This was a problem, Patrick, for quite some time. This isn't a new problem. Too many, we call lack of harmony that exists between the ASICUDA system and then the BRA's technocrats or technical persons. And I can share your view about the revisiting of the computer section, because the computer section was moved from Customs and Excise Department at the time to go over to BAR under the, and that was because there was a movement towards a soft launch, if you want to put it that way, to move Customs Department under BRA. That this administration has indicated very clearly that this will not happen, there either has to be two things. One, as you're suggesting, and I take your suggestion on board, there either has to be a removal or a revisiting of that, removal of that section back to the Customs and Excise Department proper, or we have another section. I don't think we need to duplicate or use resources wisely. So then either remove it totally and carry it back to the Customs Department, or have another section that deals specifically with the Barbados Revenue Authority issues, the computer section there, and then one that deals with customs issues. If there are going to be two departments, there's no way the Customs and Excise Department should be waiting on the Barbados Revenue Authority to implement a system that was mentioned 19 days, not even 19 days prior, because the budget was the 19 days, but then 2 days, the day after, was the repeal. I don't know the repealing of that particular piece of legislation. So by now, on the 1st of July, those systems should be in place, because I remember when the tax was moved from 2% to 10%, you know that on the date that it was supposed to be, it was in place. And it fell on a weekend, and by the Monday morning, persons were waking up to an NSRL at 10% when it was previously 2% on the last working day. So we need to get these systems in place in a more timely and efficient manner, for sure.
But ma'am, I have every reason to believe about the campaign road tax, in part, that is not true. David Thompson, Minister of Finance, in 2009, I think it was the July or June budget, gave the minibuses and the ZR guys the opportunity to pay their road taxes in part.
Well, if it is there...
You can get behind me, because I'm a student of history. So when they're coming in the war talk, the nonsense by this calling program, to gain cheap political points, I can call them on it.
Okay.
Because that is not true.
So
when Minister Duguid had directed persons to bar and asked them to make arrangements for the paying of the back taxes. He could have done so because Minister Duguid is fully aware that process is already in place.
Well, they have to go to the BRA and not the licensing authority, because the person at licensing authority is saying that they don't have any jurisdiction to make those changes or to allow for that modification. That's what the caller said today. I'm going to have to ask you to wrap it up as I go to
a break. I'm saying, ma'am, that the systems is in place, and I do not believe that Mr.
suggested to him, we do not know the person's intent. And therefore,
he could not have met a fellow who didn't pay taxes in January nor February.
No.
He could not have met a fellow who didn't pay his taxes in March. Okay. So I don't know what's the bush with this. He could not have met those. Right?
All right.
Thanks, man, for accommodating me.
Thank you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I have a WhatsApper here that says, good morning, Ms. Gale. I can't really believe some of the persons who are complaining about the road tax in 2008, when the late David Thompson became Prime Minister, in his first budget, he increased the water by 60%, and the same road tax went from $165 a year to $400 a year. And we didn't have any complaints. And for the last 10 years, all we were doing was paying taxes all the time. And we got an ease? No. And people keep it noise. I know when Auntie Mia gets things leveled out, everyone will be smiling broadly. And one thing I can say is when the BLP administration promises anything, they do fulfill them. The WhatsApper goes on to say that the former Prime Minister Owen Arthur had promised to give back the 8%, and he did. We had two tax-free months from Tom Adams, and our salaries were raised. I think that's what was intended there. Productivity bonus were received, and many more. I can't ever remember getting anything from the last administration. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. I was just reading from one of our WhatsAppers. And then I have another one here. Good morning, Ms. Gale. I'm a bit perturbed by one of the songs being played by, I'm not calling any names. Okay. I would pass on that one. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello, morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
I was waiting very, very, very long, right? I got about 3 or 4 points, right? Again, do that, try to do it quickly.
Mm-hmm. We go now, to the regional roundup at 11:55, so.
All right, I can try to do it quick. Now, in July 2008, David Thompson, the Prime Minister, there used to be a situation in place if you had bought a car.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say this week, or you stole your car last week and had to pay the taxes for that car last week. But you bought one now 2 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
You had to pay taxes for that too.
Yes.
I hope you can remember that.
I remember that clearly.
Now, at that time, you could have applied to the Ministry of Finance through the Ministry of Transport and Works to be refunded for the taxes that you would have paid 2 weeks ago for the other car.
For the road tax, yes.
Yes, road tax. Mm-hmm. However, David Thompson said that he understands, these are his words, I understand it is very cumbersome to recover that money. Mm-hmm. And from now, it has been abolished. That legislation has never been proclaimed. However, those people who, in my opinion, might be making it difficult today would have imposed that. And you come back again year before last, when the last budget that Chris Sinclair brought, he reduced professionals, doctors, lawyers, and those people's fees by 50%. I know of a young doctor who went to pay her fees. And the registration department, although I heard Patrick King spoke of the person who, the finance minister, how his word becomes legislation. They said, oh no, we ain't know nothing about that. We in Barbados. I should have heard about it. She had to pay the full fee. We will refund you next time. I can see this situation is becoming similarly to those things that I would have explained to you before. I believe that it is really a stress on a person, as you have said earlier, that like things that happen in June and so close to the 1st of July, that those people should not have to pay that fee. But in essence, I believe the people in the administration here, and they can refund them too, you know. They can refund them also. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to leave that and I go into another point. I understand that it's in place that persons will take their certificate of insurance, which would indicate that I have paid my insurance, but I don't have now to pay my road tax. You can take that to your certificate of insurance to BRA, where they would issue you with a registration disc to show that you would have paid your insurance, since you don't have now to pay road tax. That would make it easy for people policing this thing in Barbados. But I am hoping, I want to send out this warning or advice that I believe they should not allow persons who come with a cover note to give them registration discs. This has been happening in Barbados for many years, that people go to the insurance, insure the car for 30 days, go and pay the road tax, and never go back and pay the insurance. I believe, and I'm asking, that by all stretch of imagination, any time a person wants to have a registration disc to show that your insurance is paid, it should not be a part payment. Do not issue no disc on a part payment. All registration discs from hereafter should be on the production of a certificate of insurance and not a 30-day coverage. Those part payments, you go and get a cover note. That's for 30 days. Mm-hmm. You can go. They probably will give you a registration disc. But you know, after 30 days, you are no longer insured. I hope the powers that be can effect that situation where your insurance must be paid in full. We have, in Barbados, there is a group of people, either riding, and particularly motorcycles, who don't pay taxes nor insurance, but just ride around the country. I'm glad that they have put this system in place that will incorporate those persons. And this is why I would believe that they should not allow those persons to pay their insurance and then be issued with a registration disc to show that you would have paid your insurance. You understand what I've said, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
All right. I want to thank you, please.
Thank you so much. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Morning, Ms. Gill.
Morning, sir.
I want to just touch briefly on the press conference, but before I do, I just want to caution the second caller and his friend that he called on behalf of. That is very inaccurate to badger fuel economy by by the needle, then you just put in fuel, whether gas or diesel, because if the needle at that point in time can be moving up and down. And also, the person that would say stuff like, oh, well, my car is a good car because I just spend $100 and get 2 weeks, right? It's also inaccurate to measure fuel economy by time passed, because somebody, let me say, that live in St. Lucie and goes to work every same time, $100 may only last them a week. But then somebody that retired and they're only going to the supermarket and church, $100 might last them 2 months. So the most accurate way that I found out to measure the fuel economy is when you fill up your tank with fuel, gasoline or diesel, and you hear the click at the pump, you reset the trip A odometer. Mm-hmm. And then when you drive around the vehicle from F to E, from full to empty, you write down the number that the trip A odometer is reading, and that is how much kilometers you'll be getting from a full tank. That's really the only proper way to analyze that information. But in relation to the press conference, right, I want to ask a question. I heard the minister say more than once that there were 20,000 people that were not paying road tax, and he's trying to capture these people into the net. First of all, I would think that if you could find out that such a precise number of persons not paying road tax, that you should also be able to find out who they are and get some bailiffs to go after them to get the money. Because the people that didn't be paying the road tax, the people certainly that were on the front page of the newspaper yesterday, these are people that are law-abiding citizens that can pay the road tax and insurance regardless. So those are not the people that you should be trying to frustrate. The people that you should be going after is the people that are delinquent. If you were owing road tax for 3 and 4 and 5 years, et cetera, I don't think that you can just speak no because even if you pay through the fuel tax, which you will have to do if you're driving the vehicle, you're still going to be owing on insurance. And it can be a whole messed up thing in terms of the paperwork. And, I just think that they should get bailiffs to go after those persons. The caller previous to me was saying that he believes that a road tax day should not be given to someone who's only covered their insurance for 30 days or for whatever part-time payment plan the person has with their insurance company. But I think that the revenue authority or licensing should not be giving this at all. Your day should be coming from the insurance company, and on that day, it will have when you paid and when it's expiring, and you will put that onto your windscreen in the same way that you will put on the road tax disc. But instead of the road tax disc coming from the government, you'll be getting the disc coming from the insurance company. So that if you get in an accident or whatever the case may be, hit and run, whatever, persons that are looking at your disc, they will see that you've only paid for such and such amount of time, etc. And that will clear that issue. Now, the last thing I just want to say, right, and this is in relation to the same press conference. If you go to the video, and I'm so glad that the video is there because anybody now could go and clarify what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. If you skip to 23 minutes and 5 seconds into the video, Acting Prime Minister, the Honorable Cynthia Bradshaw, was responding to a reporter. And she said, and I quote, I actually have the transcript right here in front of me. Right. In fact, let me read what the reporter said first. The minister had made the comments how many days ago, and there was this conception that if you put down the vehicle when July 1st came, you would not have to pay. So the Honorable Acting Prime Minister, Cynthia Bradshaw, in response to that statement said.
This is Dr. Brass Talks. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Gail.
Doing well, thanks.
Terrific. Yeah, thank you, Ms. Commission.
I'm not hearing you speaking to your phone.
I said congratulations, Mr. Commission.
Yes.
Right. I guess you still probably Pan-African movement as well. You still used to be carrying on that, though. That should also be part of it. Do you know?
I'm not sure. Yeah, there is the commission. He's no longer the director of the commission. So the commission still exists.
Right. Yeah, because one of the fellows who wrote the Geographies of Africa, which you have in your library, he comes from Guadeloupe, and one of the historians, he actually put in a paper in 2000 and had the African slave trade to be called a crime against humanity. Mm-hmm. I remember they sponsored the talks in 2001 in German South Africa, ended September 8, 2001.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Yeah, congratulations to him, and I hope he actually makes contact with that fella. You know, when it comes to Barbados and contact with the United States, there's a documentary maker called Tom Hall. He's of Scottish origin, eh? And mm-hmm. he spoke about the second sons of Scotland coming down from Scotland, coming through Barbados and taking slaves down into the Carolinas and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of your teachers that came down also were also of Scottish and Irish origin.
Decent, yeah.
which is very interesting because in Encyclopedia Britannica by Stanley Gentleman in Scotland, under the slave trade, I mean African slave trade, made a very profound statement, which is also made in page 19 of General History of Africa, Volume 3, hardcover, which is in your library. It says basically it must be understood that the Muslims were the first to have been enslaved, which is very true. And I hope Mr. Comichon will know that because I remember Mr. Comichon just before America illegally invaded Iraq. He was on VOD and he told a lot of things about America that a lot of people did not know. And I even remember Mr. Mandela, and it was picked up also by the now former president of the Senate, Ms. Eiffel. Then Ms. Eiffel said, Mandela said that the U.S. is a threat to world peace. And it's a very interesting thing because some of that Mr. Mandela said, when he said that we don't know if there's any, we don't have any proof that there's any weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. We know Israel have weapons of mass destruction, mm-hmm. but because Iraq is a black nation, you would invade it. But because Israel is a white nation, you wouldn't want to invade that. And mm-hmm. this, within the past couple of months have come through because there was an Iraqi Jewish woman who lives in Israel, and she said that the cuisine of the Jews from that area is not recognized. You've got to come from Europe. If you come from Europe, it's recognized. Mm-hmm. A Eritrean Christian made it plain, and they tried to cover the microphone for her. She said, if you're not white and from Russia, then you're not respected here. And also, Ethiopian Jews said the same. He said, you got to be European to get any respect in Israel.
Oh.
That's a rap. Amazing. Yeah. Now, Tom Hall, he made a documentary called Compromise. He can tell the whole story about it. That's why I'm inviting here the politicians talk about this great relationship we have in America. What kind of relationship did we really have with America? Because the way he put it, he said a lot of it is not talked about even by his own family. His family was in it.
Mm.
But he found a lot.
Okay. Very interesting. I have a comment here from one of our WhatsAppers, and it says that the customs system is still down. Just keeping us informed. Delays seem to be part of our DNA. Never mind that the doing business reports are bad and getting worse. Pretty interesting perspective. This is down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. You
good,
probably
good.
Only have 2 minutes. So.
Not
two, you probably have 12.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning. Road tax is paid to cover 1 year, right?
Yes, the year.
From, all right. Let's assume I paid my road tax on January 1st, right?
Mm-hmm.
To cover 2018.
Yes.
The year 2018. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a fuel tax is imposed effective 1st of July.
Yes.
Is it only logical and fair that I should be funded $200? If it's $400, for example, the road tax is $4, that I should be refunded half?
Logical, yes. Fair, no. We have a government that has financial and economic challenges.
That's not my problem. The government's problem.
You asked me a question, I'm finishing. Please allow me to finish my response. I was making a point to you that you something may be logical, but it may not be fair. So I don't see that it's unfair.
It's unfair not to refund me $200.
I think
it's unfair not to give me back $200.
But it is unfair. The government would not have known
that.
What
I'm saying is, this is something that should be, I mean, it's just $200, a big lump of money. But I feel it is unfair not to refund me $200.
Okay, I heard you the first time and the second time.
I believe it should continue to be challenged in court.
Okay, so if you choose to challenge it in court with the $200 that you think you should get refunded, feel free to go ahead and do that.
No, I'm just saying that to me. Don't you think that is fair?
I told you, I don't think it is unfair. I think it is logical, but it is not unfair.
It is unfair.
Okay.
To me, it's unfair.
So we have two different perspectives. What else do you want to
No, that's all I'm saying. I'm saying that if...
I hear you, sorry. Oh, you're gone? I did not cut you off, sir. Everybody heard you put your phone down. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. Are you there? I can hear you breathing. Good morning. Hello. Yes.
Good morning.
Yes. Good morning.
Yes. First time I'm speaking with you. The name here is John Kelman. Did I understand that you're a Miss or Mrs. Gale?
I'm Mrs. Lisa Gale, but my name is Lisa Gale.
Oh, I see.
Only because you asked, I put that Mrs. in front of there.
Oh, I see. Anyhow, there is something that's been troubling me for a little while,
mm-hmm.
and mainly because I have been a social worker. I am now retired.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with the calypsos of this year,
mm-hmm.
some of them.
Mm-hmm.
There, I listened to a couple of them, which I certainly feel disgusted about.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that they were in good taste for public demonstration. I didn't think so.
Okay.
And I kept it. I would not have approached the radio on it, although it was a peeve. But talking this morning with a parent,
mm-hmm.
who lambaste, let me use that word, because mm-hmm. that's how it felt to me, almost cut my throat.
Whoa.
How mischievous I am. What business is that of mine? What is wrong with it? They saw nothing wrong with it.
Mm.
I said, what about our little children who are at a point where they understand communication, and we're living in a society where this walking up thing means something.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing goes in some of the lyrics I am hearing, voila, I wanted to walk up on you ever since. And the way you're walking up there now, putting me in the mood, that could not be suggesting that we're going to any altar rail for sacrament.
But that's two things.
Yeah.
The songs aren't supposed to be songs used where there's any altar or any sacrament. So to suggest that the songs aren't appropriate for that, it is clear that the songs aren't appropriate for that.
No, I think you misunderstand me.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is that when we hear that, we know it doesn't mean that.
Right.
That's what it's about.
The song is very clear. The guy says he wants to dance, which walking up is one form of dance on somebody. That's why you see he wanted to do it for a long time. I can share your view that we have some songs that are very lewd and crude.
And suggestive.
No, they're all suggestive. A lot of them are for the season and for the in the moment of, you know, dancing and all of that. That's for the carnival the carnival activity, etc. So that's what the songs are appropriate for.
I see.
What the challenge is when our little ones only hear those songs, and that's all they hear for a long time. They should be hearing those songs, you know, dealing specifically with the Crop Over Festival,
uh-huh.
but they should know that there are other songs that can be sung, you know. That.
And what I'm saying is this,
mm-hmm.
we have certain pesticides that are toxic and will kill human beings. We as parents
mm-hmm.
don't put them within the reach of children who may take them for a drink. So if the parent is in any way
mm-hmm.
negligent, the child suffers. So woe to him from whom the offense cometh. Whoever is responsible for leaving it there within reach of the young child should not then be flogging that child or even reprimanding it if you hear the child going around with it in the way he understands it, as the society does. You know something, Mrs. Gale, something that I heard, and let me share it with you and the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody one time said that the definition for waking up is a perpendicular expression of a horizontal desire. And we know what they mean, although we know they didn't say it outright. And I'm saying for the sake of the young children, not the old and elderly like me and, well, let me say you, who can reason for ourselves, but the little child, and watching people gyrating in lewd manners, that is not nice for the up-and-coming child, because if the adults are doing it with delight, the child sees it as being okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are responsible. And for someone, of course, I know they're making money by it, But to come on air totally regardless of what it is doing to the young child that is coming up, I would probably have to turn it down when my grand is here, hearing it, and seeing people outside gyrating and doing all sorts of things to it. That is not nice. And I have heard songs banned less suggestive than that. And I don't
What has been normalized, I'll share with you, and this is my thought, what has become normal, or should I say what was cruel, let's say 10, 20 years ago, has been heard with such regularity now that it is not deemed to be so distasteful.
Just let me reply to that. This world is not evil just because of the evildoers, but also and more so because of the righteous stand by and do nothing.
I'm aware of that.
I'm really aggrieved about it.
I'm aware of that, and bear in mind that I'm choosing my words very carefully. I'm not on a different, I may be on a different page than you, a different leaf, but I'm understanding you very clearly. I don't think for 1 minute that I'm not sympathetic with your positioning. I think we have to be very careful what messages we send, not only to our young ones, but to those who with whom we come in contact. Yes, for sure, the young ones, because we want to shape and fashion their minds. But there is, and I can agree with you, there is some music that really does not deserve to be played on air at all. If you go to the FET and that's where you have that behavior, sure. But in some instances, I think once upon a time, the language and the music was very, we had a lot of innuendo, and these men were very skillful in how they told a story that was very different. A good example is of Lawn Them Down, you know that song? It can have double entendre. You know, it is so clear and so obvious. We don't have that same, same creativity in the music like before. So thank you for your contribution. We are going to go to the regional roundup at this time. This is Down to Brass Tacks.